Welcome back to Summer is Coming. I'm your host, Tiny Grimes, and as always, I am joined by...
Dark Nodge.
Dark Nodge, I just came out of a long slumber in which I had a hiatus from Thrones. I'm rubbing my eyes, I'm looking around, and I'm seeing there's an FAQ?
Yeah, there's an FAQ, and there were some huge changes. Do you want to hear about it, Tiny?
Now that you've actually woken up? Yeah. Yes, okay, well. I do. And I must say, the sound of the FAQ dropping is what awoke me from my slumber.
Well, here's one of the huge changes. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Battle for Shield Island now reads controlled by losing opponents or opponent.
No idea what that means.
That means now when you actually win a Battle for Shield Island epic battle, you get to take control of one of their locations.
Pretty sure that's what happened before.
No, because before it was the losing, and no one can losing. You can just lose.
Yeah. That's interesting. So you're telling me every time someone had played that against me, I could have Brett Zeilered them and said, nope, that's not precisely what the card says.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then there was a minor change. The Long Voyage is now neutral faction house only.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing. Wait, what? Yeah, that is actually the change that awoke me from my slumber. That resonated into the cave that I was in, and I said, really? The meta's fun again? What?
Wasn't that just the best possible outcome? Like, I heard tons of people kicking around different ideas, and I got to give props to FFG for being innovative with this. The neutral house needed some boosts. It's always been something, you know, you don't see a lot of people playing that affiliation. And the Long Voyage, moving to them, they're probably not tier one still. But hey, it's another little thing in their arsenal they now have. And the best part is it's no longer with the other houses.
Yeah, for me, making it neutral house did exactly what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to have a drawback, right? So the drawback is now you have to put in cards that you wouldn't normally run. And now you have the land issues because you can't run your faction-only land. Unless you want to pay a fortune for them. I think it's the perfect errata. So good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. There was a couple other minor changes. They changed Braided Screamers to be limit once per round. I think that was needed, otherwise those Dothraki decks would be out of hand pretty quickly. They fixed Blood Magic Ritual that you can't just recur your dragons and non-attachment characters forever. They actually die now if the attachment doesn't attach.
And that seems like the spirit of what they were trying to do before, so that's good.
Exactly. They fixed some of the knight characters from Artel that, you know, they blanked their text, so therefore their text would come back because the text is what blanked them, and they'd had this weird iteration where their text would flick on and off, so they fixed that so that it's just gone all the time.
Interesting.
They've made some melee changes. They've limited...
We can skip those.
Oh, but they limited Hellhold Engineer. And, you know, they restricted a few extra cards. So we see that, you know, Northern Cavalry Flank, the Artist Seduction, Acid Greyjoy, Corpse Lake all hit the melee list. And I think, you know, people want to know about melee because melee's happening at Gen Con this year and hopefully everyone's going.
Oh, people are going to Gen Con?
Why not? It's the largest LCG event around, much bigger than Worlds.
Yeah, and this is our pre-Gen Con special.
It is. So they want to hear about the melee list.
The only downside of Gen Con is that a lot of really top-level players aren't going to be there. And maybe that's not a downside. Maybe that means that door has squeaked open ever so slightly for someone else to jump into that spot, or maybe it means the DC meta just has all the easier time to win. I don't know which one you think.
Are you just referring to the fact that Bruno's not going? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Atkinson's not going either, so two of the best players in the game aren't going
to... Whoa. Does Atkinson still play the game?
I believe he does, yeah.
He better, because he's my hero, and I'm...
I know he is.
That it's he's not funny. Playing as much as he used to, and that makes me pretty sad.
Oh, that's not good, because it is funny, because Bruno plays like I do and builds decks like I do, and so he fits perfectly with me, and you are like from the Atkinson tree of Thrones, building cool, unusual decks that occasionally flame out, but occasionally are amazing. I would definitely say you're more of an Atkinson player.
If only I could have the success Atkinson has with his decks, because he has a lot more amazing side. Yeah,
he's pretty darn good.
So you're right.
You're good, and Atkinson is pretty darn good.
Yeah, there's definitely a level of expertise above me. But yeah, you're right. You know, those two big names aren't going to be there, which, you know, maybe gives the chance to, you know, lesser big names like Eric Butzloff, like you were saying, Dainey, or someone to swoop in and take the win.
Yep. I'll be rooting for you, Dark Notch. I feel like, actually, no, that's not true. I'm rooting for Will Lentz, but I'm rooting for you second. So I'm hoping one of you two guys can swoop in and win. So we'll have to see.
Well, honestly, I'm playing a deck that I'm not super comfortable with. I've been building with Alex. I'm going to run it, but it doesn't give me a good feeling like other years that I've gone to Gen Con, and that's always a bad sign, so we'll see how it goes.
Wait, you had a good feeling with that Balerion deck?
It went 4-2. I missed the cut by one position.
I believe it you missed you. The cut. I believe beat you missed you. The cut.
Beat you. And I had a good feeling the year before, which made the cut, and I was defeated by, you know, Greg Atkinson, so, I mean,
yeah.
Who could say anything bad about that?
Yeah, when your hero beats you, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, I was just happy to play him. So,
yeah. Are you ready to spoil the deck you're going to bring to Gen Con live here on the air?
Sadly, no, because I built it with Alex, and that would go against his trust, so I'm going
to... No, I talked to Alex earlier. He said he'd be totally fine with it. You should tell the world so that you guys can get beat.
Well, I can't say just Alex because Mikey also, French Horn Mikey also worked with us on the deck a little bit, gave us some feedback, did some testing with us. It was really nice of him. Though I don't think he's going to play it because I think he said it sucked.
It must have a name at least. What's its name?
I haven't named it yet. Do you want to name it Tiny? We could call it Big Mom.
Let's call it Cersei's Wheelhouse.
Oh, that kind of gives away the house. Okay. We'll stop talking about the deck.
Sounds good. So Dark Knight is going to play his deck that he has named Cersei's Wheelhouse. So we'll see how it goes.
But, you know, since we're talking about decks for Gen Con, now that the Long Voyage is gone, what do you think is going to be the top decks? Like, you've come out of your cave. It's like the Long Voyage was never here. You know, what was your top picks before you went into your cave?
It feels to me like just emerging, looking around the meta and going, Targ Burn looks real, real good. It feels like you could play the Hollow Hill version, though the Hollow Hill version lost a lot of its tools. So now you have to choose whether you're making it a straight burn deck, what you're doing with it. You lose quite a bit of recursion from the Street Waif. I personally, if I were going to Gen Con, which I'm not because I was on hiatus, just because I have to choose one, Gen Con or Worlds. The whole reason I was on hiatus is because my last regional was in like April and Worlds is in November, so I had quite a bit of time there. But if I were going to Gen Con, I would be bringing Targ Summer Burn without the summer agenda so I could run Field of Fire, Hatchling's Feast, Open Market, Forever Burning, Incinerate, Dragon Knights, and burn everything to the ground that hit the table.
That is a fantastic deck. I agree. I think Summer Burn is really high up there. I think an underused card. I think someone might have convinced you to start running those Fields of Fire.
I had a dream.
You had a dream? Was I in the dream?
You were in the dream, yeah. It might have been a waking dream.
It's good. It's kind of weird that you dream about me, but we'll move on.
Yeah.
I really do think that Targ Burn is in a really good place. I agree with you. I think the 2-2 deck is really strong if it's pure burn. But I think the summer is a little bit better. It you know, you still have setups. You got some character control. You got some board presence early. I like it a little bit more. So I'm going to have to agree with you. I think that's one of the top decks. You know, one of the other top decks, I think, is Martell.
Wait. Let me elaborate on that deck one more. The reason why I like it better than Hollow Hill is I get a 5-card flop every time. Even if I get a 5-card flop, if I don't like it, I mulligan it into another 5-card flop. It flops amazingly well. Tons of the creatures, or characters I suppose they're called, are low cost and they are unique. So you have 2 copies of Mirani's Brothel, and right away from the flop you might have 2 to 3 unique allies on the board. You draw your Mirani's Brothel, you're reducing guys by 3 because you have more uniques. You have three allies already, so your incinerate is already at three. Like, right from the setup, you are just set up to do insane amounts of burn.
I don't want to talk too much about the deck, Tiny, because here's what I think.
Tell me.
Our podcast is called Summer is Coming. Mm. We have a challenge that is currently going on.
Oh,
between this other podcast that, you know, they might have a better podcast, but they don't have better players, especially with Greg Atkinson not around.
They have better players and a better podcast, and their hosts have not been on hiatus. I think we might be at a disadvantage, my friend.
Oh, and that's why we're going to have to use the best deck in the meta, and that's why we're going to build that summer deck.
Yeah, but if they listen to our podcast, we're in trouble, because I was listening to one of their podcasts recently. I had queued it up for my drive home, and I was all excited, and like 7 minutes in they go, if you happen to be a host of Summer is Coming, please stop this podcast now. And so I did, and was sad the whole way home as I had to sit there in silence.
That's rough. You see, I actually haven't listened to their last three podcasts in fear of hearing something inappropriate for our competition. So I think what we should do is we should finish talking about the best decks for Gen Con and then maybe build that summer deck that we can then use to trounce the two champs and the chump guys.
That sounds good. That's the only deck I'm any good with right now, so that certainly makes my life easier.
All right. So,
let me throw one out. I think if I was going to Gen Con, I might actually, instead of Targ, because I think so many people will play Targ, I think a Greyjoy deck is really strong. My temptation would be to either run it as Dampair for the draw or to run it as Maesters, but Maesters scares me with a lot of burn. And my thought would be to play things that pump my guys. So first of all, I would run tons of cancels for the events. I would run location control. You have Newly Made Lord, and I would concentrate that on Mirny's Brothel and on their influence locations. And then I haven't run Scouting Vessel much, but if I was fearing a lot of Targ, I might run Scouting Vessel and try to be first player and make that my first action in the challenge phase to bump my guys up and just to say, like, okay, you want to burn my guys? You're going to have to work for it. And you know I have cancels. So I'd be tempted to do that.
You mean Naval Escort, not Scouting Vessel.
Sure, whatever the card is called.
Welcome back from out of your cave.
Yeah, exactly. I still know what the cards do. I just don't know their names.
Right. So,
but let's be honest. I never really knew all that before, right? I never read cards. So
I'm not so sure about damp hair, but I can definitely get on side with the Maester Greyjoy. I think it's a very strong deck. I think we might see a few of them. It does actually pretty well against burn, as long as you run those extra apprentice callers, a bunch of cancel like you were talking about, maybe some plot cycling. Exactly, old time advisor for more cancel. I think it can do well. I also think Martell 222 is really strong. Stark Siege is in a really good place. I think we'll see some of those decks too.
My question is, Martell, I like to call it Hollow Hill and not 222. But Martell Hollow Hill, how are you running it? Would you run it as sort of a like Prince's Plans, weed out your deck a little bit with Desperate Measures, and then put two in every time you lose back into your deck, so you're sort of pulling out a lot of the deck, whittling it down, making it a little slimmer of a deck, a little light on characters, Westeros Bleeds? Are you thinking that kind of deck? Or are you thinking more like a regular control deck that works its way into like a Viper that wrecks everybody's world?
Yeah, I'm going to say in the current meta, I really don't like the Gaston Grey version because of the burn, because they easily burn out your nobles and then the whole Gaston Grey kind of fizzles out for you. So I don't like it, but I do like the big army version where they use, you know, Vipers, Bannermen, and a bunch of other big armies, and they come at you hard. But I personally would choose to play the, you know, light character, kind of something more like what the Australian champion won with in his nationals, or his regional, at the beginning of the year.
Wait, we're still talking about Libertine's deck as being viable from like 8 months ago?
I think if you took that deck, you added some Desperate Measures, you took out a few cards, you'd have a really solid deck.
You know what's funny? I agree. And that's so funny. Like, I can emerge from my cave and be like, oh, the game's right where it was when I left it. That's cool.
Yeah, I think Bera Black Sails has some nice stuff. You know, it reacts really well to Westeros Bleeds, so it does well against these Martell and Targ deaths that use that.
I'm going to have to question you on that. You're saying Bera Black Sails does well against Westeros Bleeds?
Right, because they can replay their characters that have been discarded very easily now.
Ah, okay. Yeah, with
Melisandre. Either through, like, Melisandre schemes or Dale, you know, bringing them back to hand.
Sure.
So the effect of those bleeds is less on Bera in general now, which is kind of strange, but interesting. So it makes them resilient to those decks. And with their renown, they can usually rush faster than those decks can handle and win.
Yeah. The funny thing is, during when Long Voyage was out of control, I was really trying to get a Bera recursion deck going, and I was just realizing it wasn't working because the other people had Long Voyage and were just putting out more characters than I could recur. So I'm wondering now if a Bera recursion deck with, I don't know the name of the card, the new prayer that lets you bring back locations so that you can not only recur stuff, but you can recur your locations, you play them on your Melisandre scheme turn, you're able to just empty your whole discard pile onto the board. It feels like that could be really strong right now.
I think it is. I definitely think it is. And I think you can play it out of Knights of the Hollow Hill, and you can play it out of Black Sails. In both cases, it works great.
Yeah, I think that that will be the next deck I built. I have my secret, I guess it is, Targ Vern deck. And I think I'm going to rebuild my Bera recursion now that I don't have to cry when my opponent just goes, well, I'll draw you know, three more characters, then I'll Great Sept, and I'll drop eight characters. And I just kind of go, what happened? You know, I had the advantage. How did I lose the advantage here?
Right. Yep, the long voyage, you know, the long voyage leaving the environment really changed a lot of things. And I think Bera might be a contender for Gen Con with the Black Sails deck. You know, I know that Greg pioneered it, and a lot of people have been tweaking it since, so I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those making the cut. And of course, you know, Rusted Maesters and stuff are back. Don't underestimate them.
Yeah.
You drop the Long Voyage, and Rusted Maesters is a solid deck type right now. You better be able to beat them.
I still think it's where it was before, though. I think it is a cut deck that does not win the event.
So you think it always makes the cut, but you don't think it can get lucky enough to win the event because it might need some luck with the pairings.
Yes, I think what will happen is I don't think it will always make the cut. I say in the hands of a good player, I think it's the kind of deck that automatically makes the cut and is going to run into one of its bad matchups and lose. Because the other point is other really good players have answers for it and know how to handle it. Whereas when you're just running through the gauntlet of Swiss, people run into that and go, holy moly, what just happened? Whereas other top-level players see that deck right from the start, and they go, okay.
No, within plot one, yeah, what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they played it so many times. Do you think there's going to be anything unexpected? Do you think there's going to be something that just explodes onto the scene, and you're going to be like, whoa, that's really good?
Originally, my thought was definitely. And then with the people that aren't attending the event, less so, because I feel like the DC meta is not creative. I feel like they're more efficient oriented, so I don't see them as the people that are going to have this deck that comes out of left field. I think it's going to be more like they're going to pick an existing archetype and make it as efficient as they can, and then all 15 of them are going to roll in with something similar. So I don't think they'll be creative. If Atkinson was going to be there, I would say I think so. Because I think there's room for a really cool deck to pop out right here. Because it's like a new meta. It's wide open. I think there's room for it. But I'm just not sure if the creative minds are going to be there. Like, you are one of the people that I wouldn't have been surprised if you said, I came up with this crazy deck. And maybe you did. And maybe you named it Cersei's Wheelhouse.
Sadly, I'm playing something more generic this year.
Right.
Now, my melee deck is crazy.
But so my point is, I think there's a lot of room for a cool deck. I'm not sure that one is going to win or even do really well. I bet in Swiss you'll see some really cool decks, but they will be piloted by players who are more mid-level players. And let's face it, Aegot is about play skill. Like, just because you have a cool deck, if you're not a top-level player, you're probably not going to pilot it into the top 16.
Right. Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, with the way that Gen Con's run specifically, where there's only six rounds instead of, I think, the seven they should be really running, it's really tough for those mid-level players to win enough to be able to get into the cut with a really cool deck.
Right.
You know, that might be the best deck even, but because they're playing people like Bruno, maybe not in this case, but
people like
other
Dark
top level players.
Is that what you meant? They're playing people like Dark.
No, I would not put myself anywhere near the level of those other players like Bruno and Atkinson and, you know, Jonathan Benton and stuff.
Benton will be there, I hear. So that's cool.
He will. Yeah, will be there. Eric will be there for sure. And I mean, those will be some of the bigger names there, I think, from the AGOT community.
Yep.
People that have their face on cards, basically.
Right. It's just unfortunate for me that pretty much the whole SoCal meta will not be there. And so it makes it hard for me to even get excited about the event. Like if my whole meta was going and I was the only one not going, I'd be like, oh, I'm sad, but go get them, guys. And I'd be all excited about Gen Con. And instead it's like, well, whatever. Hope Gen Con's fun for everybody.
Well, it must be killing you because the turnout is just amazing from some of these huge events. Star Wars sold out twice. They had to increase the size. Netrunner has like 140 people.
To be honest, Star Wars is the one I'm really regretful of because it's the first major event for the game, right? Like Game of Thrones, I went to Gen Con last year. It was a little disappointing because it wasn't the world championship and it was very clear to everyone, like, this isn't the world championship. And you'd be like, hey, I got 10th at Gen Con. And they're like, that's not the world championship. No one cares. Whereas with Star Wars, it's more like, it's the first major event. It's going to kind of define the community a little bit, figure out who the good players are. So I'm definitely sad I'm not coming.
And there's so many players. And the thing I'm hearing is, like, just even here in Ottawa, I go down to some of these LCG nights and I talk to people. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Gen Con to play Star Wars. I'm like, have you registered? They're like, oh, no, you have to register? And yeah. I'm like, the thing is sold out twice. They're not going to have room. They're going to run out of tables. It's that popular at this point.
Yep.
And, man, to be a player of that game and miss the first ginormous event like that, it's gotta sting a little bit. But you'll get to go to Worlds, which will be fantastic, which I won't be able to go to.
Yeah, that's the choice I had to make. I could only attend one, and I figured I would rather be the first world champion than the first person to win a major event.
So I think the deck that is going to surprise us and make the cut is going to be Shadows-based.
Hmm.
That'll be my my prophecy right now. Yeah, I'll be doing a prophecy. A deck based on shadow cards is going to make the cut.
Because wow.
I have seen two, which I won't talk too much about, which are just, they just crush absolutely all the tier 1 decks currently.
Why aren't you playing that deck? Or are you playing that deck? And that's why you can't talk about it.
I am not playing that deck.
Wow. Okay, here's a tip to you, Dark Naj. When you find a deck that beats all the decks, that's the deck you're supposed to play.
No, I didn't build it. I never play a deck I didn't build card for card.
See, that's where we're very different. That's what I do. I play a deck that someone else built, change seven cards, and then say, okay, cool.
The closest I've come to that is Alex gave me a Stark Siege before my match, and I still ended up changing 20 cards, so a third of the deck. And I basically just changed it to a Stark Siege that I had built previously so that I felt comfortable building it, playing it. I just can't do it. I mean, I play archetypes that are very common, but I built them myself. I didn't net deck them or whatever.
Gotcha.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with net decking, though. I think it's a great tool, especially for newer players. It's just it's my personal preference to personally build all my decks card for card.
I would have to rephrase what I said. I mean, that's how I do it as well, but it's often, like, if I see a really cool deck, I'll look at that deck, and then I'll build that deck from scratch myself. But once you've, like, seen an archetype that's new, and you build the archetype, it's going to be, you know, fairly similar to the one you're basing it off of.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's really hard to just generate entirely new archetypes that are actually legitimately tier 1.
All right, Tiny. So let's build ourselves a deck here. We have.
Oh, wait. Oh. All right. So if you're one of the 17 hosts of Two Champs and One Chump, this is when you need to stop listening to the podcast. I'm talking to you, Will Lentz.
All right. All right. So, we need a house. I think we've determined we're going to be running Tark.
Either that or the Baradak.
Oh, no. It's going to be Tark. Summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We can do
I'm
that.
Sticking with our whole thought. This is it. So, it's going to be a genderless.
Right? Yes, it is. Unless you have an idea for an agenda that would work with it. I didn't come up with one that was good. Mine is currently agendaless.
I don't feel anything that jumps out at me, and I think there's actually some good bonuses to not running agenda. You know, the fleets, Northern Cavalry flank will kneel to attack us if they're running siege. So I think let's stick with no agenda.
Sounds good.
And do you want to go right into the plots before we even build the rest of the deck? Because we kind of have an idea of the deck, right?
Sure.
Like we're building a burn deck. It's Targaryen. It's going to be low-cost guys. So let's think about plots. What are the plots that jump out to you as must-have?
Let's start with what you just said. We're going to have a lot of low-cost guys, and we're going to have a great flop. I can think of one plot that might be real necessary in a lot of matchups, if that's the case. What plot?
Forgotten Plants.
Yeah. So not only is it good against something like First Snow, there's a lot of cards that it works well against, like Melisandre's Schemes. You burn all their guys, they think they're coming back, and now they're not.
Okay, the next thing for me goes to burn decks. Sometimes you can't handle a big character. What do? You march them. I want march to the wall of the deck.
Oh, yeah. Control. And essentially what we're building is a control deck. And march to the wall is phenomenal in control decks.
Absolutely.
Now, so along with that control deck, you run into a Stark Siege deck first turn. You got some burn in your hand. You play Shadows and Spiders and womp womp. They don't get to attack you.
Right. I like that. I like the Shadows and Spiders. And so let's add that.
All right.
And now I think we need some claim tours. We need to be able to push a little bit of our advantage once we get the burn on. We want to hit some of those cards in people's hands.
Okay, before we get there, we have to get the other auto includes first, see what we've got left.
Oh, so what you're saying is we have to put Valor in?
Yeah, we have to put Valor in. If it's a control deck, it has to have Valor.
All right, Valor's in.
All right, now we have a decision to make. Is it going to be a summer deck?
Well, I think we have a decision to make here that we've already chosen it's going to be summer because our name Summer is coming. So you're right. I think we need the Raven. Fetch us a Raven. So
yep.
Time for Raven's got to go in. But now we only have two slots left. So now we have to make a hard choice.
The I've already got them selected. Like, I can't imagine having other plots. But go ahead. What would you put here?
Well, I think in my world, I either decide to push advantage with two claimers, or I take a step back and I say, I'm going to take some other type of control plot, and I'm going to take Wildfire, so that I can control the board through a second reset to bring down the number of their characters to, you know, two or three.
Okay, those are interesting decisions. Let me tell you what I would put. I think you have to play Threat. I think that's just a money card.
I agree. So for praying Threat, I want to play Wildfire.
See, to me, Threat is almost in the place of Wildfire. Do we really need three resets? Especially if you think about it, we're going to be littering the board with low-cost dudes. Why would we want Wildfire?
Are we really going to be littering it with low-cost dudes? There'll be a lot of low-cost dudes, I agree. So what are you saying? You're saying now you're going to throw in your two-claimer at this point?
Nope. I have my secret plot here that I think is clutch.
I don't even want to hear it. I'm scared. All right.
Will Lent, if you're listening, you better have turned it off by now because it's our secret plot. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
It is fortified position.
It's so hard. I love fortified position. I run it in my 2-2-2 builds because I think it's so good.
It kills Rush.
Kills Greyjoy. Cancel. Yep.
Kills Cersei Lannister. It makes the Viper, so you can just burn him down with an incinerate. You have something like Cavalry Flank. Well, now he can't do much. You could put attachments on him for that turn to burn him down with a Flame Kiss plus burn.
I love it. I'm in love. I think we have to go with it.
All right.
I use it in a bunch of other decks, so I'm on board with it.
That's seven, by the way.
Yep, we're done.
We're done.
All claim one. No claim two. I'm kind of crying inside, but we'll handle it.
We don't need claim two. We just burn all their guys down, man. Come on.
All right. Let's talk about a character base.
We don't need characters. We're just going to burn. It's 60 burn cards, no characters.
There's a couple key characters I think we want to throw.
Okay, fine, Dark Notch. Maybe ears are open.
A Black Hatchling. One cost, Tricon, two strength.
Yeah, Black Hatchling is great. I mean, if we're going for... Like, to me, if we're going to play it without Hollow Hill, the reason we're doing it is to get an amazing setup. And a one-cost, unique, two-strength Tricon, pretty much right up our alley.
Dragonite, since it's summer, minus two strength, hop it in with Influence.
Yep.
He's cheap, three of those.
Of course, yep.
Couple Dragon Thieves for some attachment control.
I say three. I think attachments are still really awesome right now.
All right. I like to include a Free City Mercenaries in my Targ Burn decks of this type. Big Fat Army.
That card.
Only two cost on setup, Shadows, and it's got this... Got Renown, so it speeds up the deck a lot. It's got this great response. After a character with two strength, two or lower is killed, stand Free City Mercenaries. Basically, anyone we burn to death is going to have strength two or lower, and it's going to stand this guy for us.
I don't like him.
I'm going to put one in anyways, because you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you why I don't like him. I'm not saying we shouldn't put one in. I don't like him because our gold is really low in the deck on our plot. And so essentially, the turn that we bring him out of Shadows, he is our entire turn. Now, does that mean he's a bad card? No. But I would probably rather play 2 to 3 one-cost guys that are pretty good rather than a four-cost guy that is also pretty good. Or maybe even better than pretty good. Maybe he's just good.
Okay, well, let me talk about him a bit. He's great against the other burn matchups because as they burn your characters, he stands too.
Yeah, that's nice. Right?
So he's got a really high strength, which is pretty sweet in that. He's a shadow card, so even if we don't bring him out of shadows, sometimes he has effects. Maybe against those Greyjoy players that have, you know, those boatswains that are a little bit harder to burn, we leave him in shadows, minus two strength, straight up there. He's a great Val recovery card. You know, after Val, if we have one plus one gold, we can bring him out of shadows because it's obviously summer. So even though we are running low gold plots, we do have that extra gold from the Raven to take into consideration. And I think with that, we can probably pay for him most of the time. And yeah. I'm not talking run three of him, just one. And just he's one. Great on setup, too, because he's only two gold for setups.
All right, we'll put one in for now, see where we go. I mean, I think it's reasonable. I think both of our comments are reasonable. I think we'll have a hard time in this deck getting him out. But I also think he's a good character. I think there's... some characters that are auto includes since it's summer. Just two Sams, three Carrion Birds.
Absolutely. Green Hatchling, I think, goes in because he's two strength. He gets the Inticon on defense.
Yep. Another one cost great guy.
I love running a single horseback archer. What do you think on that, Tiny?
I usually do not, but let me look at him again just to be a little clearer.
So he's two for a three strength. You can pay a single influence to have him participating in any military challenge. These guys can be the death of siege decks, like just bouncing in, use any triggers, Illyrio, which I think we're obviously both going to agree that should be in the deck.
Yep.
At least as a one of, if not a two of.
I like him. My only hesitation with him is really that he only has the one icon and that he's not unique or an ally, so like he doesn't fit as well synergistically with what the deck's trying to do.
I agree.
Definitely see what you're saying, that he can be really useful against let me put it this way. I never run him, but when people run him against me, it's always devastating.
All right, do you want to put one in for now and we can come back and cut him later? Maybe
let's put one in and see where we're at.
I think we run a Jogo, the draw Jogo, obviously.
Yeah, and the draw Gilly alongside him.
Yep. The Khal Drogo that bounces.
Yep, definitely.
I
think now, because we have so many uniques, we put in strong Belwa, so we have a little bit of Valor recovery.
I agree. Maybe two Belwasses. Maybe one Krennis Mo, Net, whatever his name is, that steals attachments when you pay their cost for summer.
Yeah, I like him.
He's an ally. I like him.
He's nice. I have one Belwas in for now. We'll see if we want to go up to two.
Now, I like running some of the basic save stuff. I like running the Tarak Maester Aemon that has the intrigue icon.
I do too. He
can save himself.
Yep, I think he's good.
I like Viserys. Running, exactly, the Viserys for one.
Yeah.
Pri goes into all my Tarak decks because he's a beast.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Got to put Pyre Pri in. And he's one of the reasons why you don't need to claim as much. He is to claim, right? You get your get your military through, and then you intrigue, and boom, you got to claim.
All right. Here's a question that happens with a lot of my summer decks. Red Warlock. It's three costs. It's tough in the...
No. No. Yeah.
So you're going to say no to the Red Warlock. I like to run one of them sometimes to get that key attachment that I need, but I'm okay with leaving him out, so let's leave him out for now. Sir John Mormont.
Yeah. I believe his name's Jorah and not John, but if we're talking about
the same guy... Sure? Because he's pretty cool. Yeah, it's Jorah Mormont. Do you like the Joust version that kills the mercenary ally, I'm thinking?
Try to guess. Try to guess which one I like.
That's your favorite because it's more card advantage, while my favorite is the little guy because he's cheap, good for setups, and has stealth. But we'll choose yours because
My point is we already have all the cheap guys. He's an awesome guy to crush their big ally and make them pay for playing that big ally.
Three Shadow Parasites.
Plus, since he's a mercenary, doesn't he hit most fleets?
He does. He hits a bunch of the fleets.
That seems pretty handy to me.
So you agree on the Shadow Parasites, obviously?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Three of those. The funny thing is, since I had been playing exclusively Hollow Hill, I really hadn't seen them until, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. And I was like, oh my goodness, why aren't I playing the Summer instead? These guys alone make Summer phenomenal. The setup's amazing. You do completely disgusting things with these guys and just make people cry.
The Gold Company. We have a lot of cheap, unique characters. They seem like we should have one of.
I put one of those in my build recently. I haven't really gotten to use him, but I like him.
All right. I don't like the White Hatchling.
That's fine.
Because it's what Strength 1 gets discarded from threat.
Yeah, basically Strength 1 characters don't fit well except Missandei, who doesn't discard, so let's put her in.
Yep. So how many characters we got?
Well, let me say a couple more, and then we'll be at the number I'm at, and we can go from there. I think Brown Pen Ben Plum has to go in.
Yeah, he's auto-cleave with zero cost strength, yep.
We already talked about Illyrio, so one of those goes in. And now we have all the characters I had, plus yours, plus a sellsword deserter. And my thought is, the deserter could come out for the horseback archers if you want.
I'm not a big fan of the deserter. Hits our allies, makes them all get discarded from threat. I know he's money against Lannister, and I've seen him used well sometimes. I'm not in love with him. I think I'd rather not have him and keep the horseback archer.
Yep, I'm fine with that change. What I do like about him is that he makes it a little easier to be tricky. Like if you have three allies on the board and they have a four strength guy, you can ambush him in. Now you have four allies. Now your incinerate kills him. But I'm fine with being a little less tricky for a horseback archer. We're just tricky in a different way.
I'm currently at 28 characters. Is that what you're running?
I have 31 now. So let's see who I had that you didn't have on your list. I feel like I had them all. So I'm going to just run through them. Three Carrion Birds, two Tarly, three Dragon Thief, three Dragon Knight, Jogo, Gilly, Brown Ben Plum, three Shadow Parasites, one Illyrio, one Belwas, one Aemon, one Khal Drogo, one Pyre.
I found the problem.
What's up?
I found the problem. I forgot to include Gilly and Brown Ben Plum. Cool. So we're good.
You got 31 also? Yeah. Okay. So that seems reasonable. I'm still not sure on the mercenaries. We'll leave them for now and kind of come back to them.
All right. Events.
Yes, events. Summer, right? Didn't we say summer?
We did say summer.
What's the best
Fields
summer
of Fire.
Event? What Field is the fire. Best summer event in the game?
Field of Fire.
Yeah, it is. That whole thing's on fire.
good is that event? Do you remember the first day I told you about that event? You were like, what's that event? That's not a good event.
No, no, that's not what I said. What I said was that event exists. That's like the best event I've ever heard of.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all right, we'll move on. Field of Fire.
That's amazing.
Forever Burning, two of them?
I kind of like three.
Really?
Forever Burning is just phenomenal. Especially with Field of Fire, you know, like you get a bunch of guys down to two, and then you've got that one to finish them off, because three is often the sweet spot.
All right, well, we'll leave three for now. Hatchling Feast is going to be our restricted, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're running three of those?
Oh, yeah, we are.
And three Incinerates, too?
Hold on a second. Apparently this is an older build of the deck. Yes, three Incinerates.
See, you're looking at a deck while I'm just building it.
Yeah, no, this is literally the deck I've been playing for 4 months now.
it's pretty funny that off the cuff, we were pretty close in our...
Yeah, almost identical.
...creation of what a Targ Summer Burn should be.
Yep.
So three Incinerates, so a total of 12 events.
Yep, maybe 11. Maybe we'll go down to two Burnings. We'll have to see. The question for me is attachments. So because I have so many burn events, and because we're going to run away to get them back, I actually went down to two Flame Kiss and two Sunstroke. But that was because Greyjoy was so dominant. Do we still need the Sunstrokes?
I think the Sunstrokes are just all kinds of money. I would not run less than one Sunstroke in the current environment. In my version, you know, I don't actually run as much control as you. I wouldn't normally run the Shadows and Spiders. I'd run a Claim 2 that would remove, you know, the no attachments from armies and stuff to use the Sunstrokes to kill them. But maybe because of that, we just stick with one Sunstroke and two Flame Kiss.
I don't like running one of any card I want to see.
I am in complete disagreement with you.
Interesting.
I love running one of, and it's not a card that I want to see. It's not a clutch of the deck, but it's something that I would never be unhappy to see. Like, if you drew a Sunstroke, you'd be like, oh no, a Sunstroke.
Right. So if that's the case, why don't you want two? You want to be able to rely on, like, if you're running into a matchup where you need it, you want to be able to rely on it.
Because I don't think there's any matchup where we 100% need it, but I don't think there's any matchup where we draw it and we're sad about it either. And I think there's a certain value in being unpredictable to your opponent. You play one Sunstroke, they start to think you have other Sunstrokes. You play one Flame Kiss, they think you have other Flame Kiss. You play one, you know, Field of Fire, they start to change their play based on what you've played. So if you have one or two of certain events, it can really change their thought process, you know? The best example ever is a Seductive Promise.
Yes.
You Seductive Promise something. From then on, every time you kneel two guys so that your strength is higher than four, you can basically guarantee your opponent is going to be blocking you. In fact, I've seen some matchups versus good opponents that heard that this guy played Seductive Promises early in a tournament, and he's like, I attack for five, and the other guy's like, okay, I block for three, because he just keeps needing to make sure he doesn't get Seductive Promises. But you know what? There's no Seductive Promises in the hand of that other opponent. He's just doing that because he knows you have no choice but to react as if it's there.
The other one I think that fits in well there is I'm You Writ Small. I think that's one of those cards. I like to put one of them in almost every Lannister deck, and I do my best to play it early just to mess with my opponent. All right, but back to Sunstroke. This is why I would say two, and you tell me what you think. If we think the one deck that beats this deck is Greyjoy, and the one thing Greyjoy has is saves, and we don't have two claimers, so we're not going to be beating them with Military Claim, we have to be beating them with either burning them down or making it so they can't offensively Valor, it feels like seeing one Sunstroke consistently in that matchup is going to be really good for us.
I agree. So are you saying you're worried about Greyjoy at this point then?
Yes.
Then yes, I agree with putting a Sunstroke in.
Two of them is what I was saying.
Yeah, putting extra Sunstroke. Right, so we have two Flame Kiss, two Sunstroke, 2 Ravens.
Yep.
For a total of 6 attachments and 12 events currently.
Correct.
Which might be a little high. So,
we're at 18, 31 is 49. Wait, what? Yeah. How are we that high? That's ridiculous. Okay. We're going to have to pull something, I think. But
we'll... yeah. Let's continue with building, and we'll come back and cut some of the stuff afterwards.
Go to our locations. So we want the fiefdoms, right? 3 fiefdoms?
Absolutely.
3 summer seas?
Yep.
A Drogo's tent?
Yep.
Great Pyramid? And absolutely. By the way, these are all influence. We want to build up that influence. Since we don't have Hollow Hill, we need to have influence. 2 marine tourney grounds?
2 marine tourney grounds?
Yeah, I could be convinced to go 3, but I feel like 2 is probably the sweet spot.
2 is good, 2 is good. I'm happy with 2. The unique location that reduced allies, I think it's Tyrosh?
Tyrosh, yep. One copy Tyrosh. Of that.
Do we want to have Merexes?
Yes, yeah. If you're building a target, the answer is yes.
Copy of that. So how many locations are we at now?
Well, we haven't put in our 2 open markets yet, so we can loop our events.
Yep, and I think those open markets have to go in there, so
that's
let's 14. Drop an open.
I had a Myrnese brothel. I think maybe we don't need it. We could probably get away with, since we have Krasnys and we have 3 Dragon Thieves.
I think Krasnys is really, he's repeatable. I think we're okay. So I think we can drop the brothel.
Yeah. The brothel was more in there for stuff like maesters, where I was going to have to get rid of a lot of attachments. I just feel like this deck handles maesters pretty well anyway.
Yeah, we just burn out key maesters early and then we're probably okay.
Right. Since we have such a high amount of burn, we can pretty much guarantee we're going to draw it.
Yep.
All right, so let's get our numbers. So we're at 14 locations. That gives us 26, 32 non-characters, plus 31 characters, 63. To me, pretty much perfect deck.
All right.
63 is the magic number for me. I will not go over 63, but if it takes me to get to 63 to get everything I need, I'm okay with it.
I would drop the Forever Burnings down to 2.
You know what? Let's do that. Let's do that. 2 for...
Now we're at 62.
Yep. I like that. You know what I really like? And you're not going to like this. I like dropping the Free City Mercenaries to get down to 61.
That's a horrible idea.
All right.
They are one of our 2 big mamas.
All right.
And I think we want to keep those. So I'm gonna rebel against that and say how cool they are and we should keep them.
All right. I'll go with you on that one, especially since... you know what I think we should do, actually, is have each of us play one of their people. So do this over multiple games, and that way we can really see whose podcast is superior.
I'd be totally good with that. Now, I don't know if they've been building with the new FAQ in mind or not, but we obviously have because we're that cool.
We will contact them and let them know that we don't play illegal decks. You know, that's kind of how the world works.
Yeah. So, I mean... That was a very quick deck building session, Tiny. It was kind of strange that we agreed on just basically everything. But, I mean, in all honesty, Targ Burn builds itself.
It really does. You open up your box and you go, Targ Summer Build. I'm sorry, Targ Summer Burn. Okay, here are the cards. And then there's about, as you noticed, maybe 6 spots. I would say the Krasnys could come out, Golden Company could come out. Mercenaries could come out, archers could come out, maybe one of the thieves could come out, the Amon could come out, and that's it. There's like 7
very
cards.
Little personal preference, yeah.
Right. You could like something better. You could take out the open markets as well.
I think now you're moving away from the whole point of Summer Burn if you start taking away things.
I agree. I'm just saying you could. You do have enough burn that you could probably get away with not having open market. Now, would I? No.
I would never either.
A second Meraxes is completely legit. I mean, I would have no problem adding it. I've been playing it with only one, and I've been fine with it.
There's so much draw in this deck. You got your Samwells, you got your Gilly, you got your Jogo. You know, it's just, there's already a nice amount of draw. It does okay.
I agree. That's what I found, that it draws really well. It basically does everything really well. It draws real well. It sets up well. It has a ton of burn, great control. To be honest, I haven't lost a game with this deck in a long time.
So this is a DC deck.
Then again, let me also say, I haven't played many Games of Thrones in a long time. So, to say I haven't lost it doesn't really mean that much.
Well, all right. So I think we have our deck, and we are ready for the competition at this point.
We are. Let's end our show with a brief talk about Gen Con. And let me say this as someone who's not going to Gen Con. Try not to be the guy at Gen Con, if this is your first one, who sits in the corner with a hoodie and headphones and gets really dialed in so you can crush your opponents. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that goes around and meets everybody and has a good time. The Game of Thrones community is a really great, fun community. It's one of the things that really attracted me to this game coming from other games, was not only are these people really competitive, which they are, but once the gloves are off, everyone's just having a good time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I mean, we all go out, we all go drinking, you know, show up, ask around at the day of the joust before you leave, where do you think you guys are going to be? People will have some ideas, show up there, drink there, participate. It's a great time.
Yeah, and you can't just show up and expect someone to come up to you and be like, hey, guy I never met before, make sure you come out with us, because everyone's sort of getting together with friends they haven't seen in a while. They're not shutting you out. They just don't know you. But if you come up to them and say, hey, man, you know, like go up to Darknage or Will or Zylor or anyone else who has a podcast, go talk to them. Sorry, Daryl, I almost forgot you. Daryl, go talk to them. Say, I'm a fan of the podcast. Where are you guys going tonight? All these guys want to have a good time and they'll be happy.
Daryl's easy to see. You know why, right, Tiny?
Wow, that's
the drunk guy.
There you go. Okay, I like that. I like that better than where I thought you were going. Yeah, Daryl will probably be doing something crazy. You'll know Daryl.
Yeah, you won't be able to miss Daryl. He'll be the drunk one stumbling on the tables. I'll be the 6'5" fat guy, so I'll be pretty easy to pick out.
Yeah, you can't miss Darknage. When he stands up, the whole room kind of shakes and people look around. And it's not the Abominable Snowman from the north. It's actually Darknage from the north.
Yeah.
So, have a good time. Test your deck thoroughly. Don't change it the night before. Don't run into Darknage and have him be like, hey, man, did you think about this deck? And go, oh, my goodness, that's a great idea, and throw your deck away. Don't do that. Do your prep work. Come in ready and have a good time. So until next time, stay classy.
Stay classy, Westeros.